Well, this morning, I do promise that I will be brief, and we've got a lot going on today. This is a busy day in the church, so I hope everyone will take as many opportunities to be involved in the various things that we have going on as you can. This morning, the focus of what I want to do, other than the recognition of the graduates, is also the fact that we are going to share in the Lord's table today. I want to talk about that a little bit, to just talk about some things about communion and read a little scripture. And this kind of the idea came from a question that Kelly asked me last week after she had been with a friend to a church out of town. She was at a wedding over the weekend and went to church where they served communion, and they were told that that if they weren't saved, hadn't given their life to the Lord, and for some particular things, there were guidelines that they were not welcome to come down to communion. Well, as you know, if you're a Methodist and been in the Methodist church long, you know that communion in the Methodist church is an open thing. It is open for anyone to come and partake of. I am not going to judge whether or not you should be taking communion. That's between you and the Lord. And certainly, if your conscience tells you one thing, if your conscience burns within you and say, I don't need to be taking communion, then I'd listen to what God is saying. But this basically comes from that question about who is eligible and the various things associated with that. First of all, let's look at who participated in that very first communion. When Jesus instituted that which we have been performing now in the church for 2,000 years, who was it that was present at that first communion? If you would look with me at the scripture, two passages, first from Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 through 25. Matthew 26, 20 through 25. And when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it was written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better, it would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, You have said it. Then in Luke chapter 22, verse 21, Jesus says, But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. So you see, there were two groups, or there was two kind of sections or groups of people, or two categories of people at that very first time, at that very first communion when Jesus instituted. There were those who were going to betray Jesus and never thought they would. That's the majority of the disciples that were there. And then there was Judas, who had in all actuality already betrayed Jesus by conspiring and agreeing with the scribes, the Pharisees, in the temple to betray him. He'd already taken money. He'd already made that commitment and that deal with him. So there was those who were going to betray Jesus and didn't realize it, didn't think they would. And there was Judas, who already had and needed His forgiveness. The disciples there, Peter and James and John, they all were going to fail Jesus. They had the best of intentions, just like you and I do each and every day. There's not one person in here, I don't think, if we would all be honest, if all of our thoughts and our intentions could be magically transported up here onto the screen, that'd be kind of a scary thought. But if we could just particularly bring those thoughts up there, there's not one person in here, I don't think, that's intending on going out from here this afternoon and sinning. I don't think none of us have that intent. But there's not a doubt that there's about all of us are going to go out And we will sin before this day is over with, through something we think, something that comes through our mind, some hardness of our heart. We were going to fail God somewhere along the line. Yet none of us intended to. Those disciples on that day in which Jesus instituted the first supper there, first communion, they were oblivious to the things that were going to happen and the things they were going to be faced with and how they would fail. We too, right here and now, we don't know what's coming when we walk out the door there, and we don't know how we're going to fail God. Judas had already conspired to betray Jesus. Judas had already committed that sin. He had already chosen his path. Yet, what is it that God does? What is it that Jesus does, even knowing that Judas has already made this deal to hand him over to be crucified? What is it that happens at that table? Jesus still offers Judas communion. He offers him the table there. There's not a prerequisite that he has to be perfect or that he has to be in even a right relationship with the Father. It's not there. You see, in the Methodist Church, one of Wesley's big things, you've heard me say it before talking about communion, is that communion, in the eyes of John Wesley, and I believe is a correct theological position, is that communion is not about what we're doing, it's about what God is doing. And it's about God's grace. It's an avenue, it's an opportunity to experience God's grace. What more perfect example of it is that at the very night in which Jesus is about to be handed over to the world, to be brutalized, to be spit upon and beat and to be crucified illegally, at that moment, to the man who's going to betray him, he offers him that point of grace. That point of grace comes to Judas there. Judas, I believe, Jesus wanted Judas to turn from that point. Jesus didn't want to die. Well, it's evident in his prayer in the garden that was not something that he was looking forward to. And I believe in Jesus' heart that while he knew what Judas was going to do, he longed for Judas to say, "Rabbi, I'm so sorry. I have sinned against you and against God, and I'm not going to do what I said I was going to do." I believe that Jesus wanted Judas to do that, and I believe he offered him the cup and the bread that night for that very reason, a moment of grace. How many times does God give us a moment of grace? How many times has God come to our presence when we are faced with a difficult decision or choice? And how many times have you ever had a friend just give you a pat on the back or an encouragement at a moment when there was a major choice or decision or you were facing some critical issue in your life? Grace. That's what communion is about. It's about where the heavenly, the divine, intersects with the human condition, and there is a finite point in time there where God is real and God is present and God is tangible and touchable in the human situation. Maybe not God in the physical form that Jesus was, but in the form of friends or loved ones or something that somebody says and does for you. God being present, God being available, God being at a point of grace, being a point of grace in your life. In each of these situations, the grace of God was present. Whether or not we accept it in our lives, whether or not you realize your need for grace, or whether or not you reject that need for grace, that's between you and God. But we can be sure, we can be confident that God is always at work and His grace is ever present and continually trying to connect with us. He's at work in your life and in your heart right here today. I'm confident of it. And I invite you to come to the Lord's table today. There's a reason why. Because it's a table fit a meal fit for a traitor. If you've been a traitor to God, like me, then I invite you to come and experience God's grace. If you would follow along with me in the communion liturgy that will be on the screen. If you would like to follow it in the hymn book, it's on page 12. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up our hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Now, with the confidence of children, let us pray as Christ taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.